Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 234. This is part two, the conclusion to peace. Today is Sunday, February 19th, 2012.
Don't argue with people. Wouldn't that irritate some of them? How do you know you're saved? How do I know? The Bible tells me so. Wouldn't that be neat if the whole church would do that? Then they'd another woman would come up. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. And another one on this side. And pretty soon a crescendo. Pretty soon the whole church. How do we know? The Bible tells us so. Huh? See, it's as simple as that. You lose your peace by trying to prove it. Can you prove that you're saved? People try that all the time. They'll carry a Bible. They look saved. Huh? How do you look saved? Do you ever try to look saved? I know people that try to look saved. They look like nerds. No, it's not looking anyway. It's knowing. Whether you're in overalls or a shirt and slacks or a tie or... How do you look saved? Did you ever try to look a certain way? You muff it. You look worse. Because you get self-conscious. See, now I got to look saved. Now I'll go in there and I'll... You get all nervous. It's not natural. But we all try it at first, don't we? How many have tried to look saved on your job? You know, you put on the smile and everything, you know. Hi, Pastor Paul. Hi, praise the Lord. I would hate to go to some of these carnivals that they have around the country where everybody congregates. And while they're down there, they all have to agree with one another and act saved. I would get so sick of everybody coming up and saying, well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, and the kids stand there all sullen and mean, just got done pinching him in the rump, you know. Huh? Because he didn't look saved. How unnatural that is for everybody to congregate in one great big group and say, aren't we having fun? And then try to act saved. Try to act holy. Well, I can't do it. I am the world's worst actor. I can't do it. I probably a lot of times look unsaved to people. One guy told me, he says, look at the clothes you wear. Is that any way for a preacher to dress? I said, well, how do they dress? I says, I'm very uncomfortable in a suit. You think I'll go to heaven if I go in a shirt and slacks? I got this from the clothes closet, both these pieces. Aren't they nice? Your shirt came from there, and these pants came from there. Let me check these socks out. No, these are my own. See, some people don't have peace. They think, oh, you got to look saved. Paul, I mean, your speech is deplorable. They said that about another Paul, an apostle Paul. I mean, your delivery. Hey, it gets across. Well, I can make the point, but I think it's just having peace and acting natural. Do we all have personalities? Do you ever try to act like somebody else? Oh, if I could only act like they do. They are so heavenly looking. And so we pick out parts of people and we become Frankensteins. We have the walk of a certain person and the talk of another person and the hairdo of another person. And we end up like Frankenstein. Da, 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 huh? And you lose your peace. You don't come to the north side and minister down here and try to put on airs. Or they'll give you the air. You hearing this? So glad you're here today. Ooh, how do I know? The Bible tells me so. I sang that one night I was in bed and I was disturbed with my life and I was laying there and I was laying in bed, laying there. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. I was like, oh, that sounds pretty good. Until they start knocking on the wall. Didn't stop me though. I sang right out there. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. And then every power of this person or our soul sings, I know, because I know, because I know. And then your understanding feels it, so it's enlightened. The will feels it. It's subjected to the will of God. The heart feels it. It's fired by the Holy Ghost. I believe even the hope feels it. It looks forward to the day when the whole man shall be made like the covenant, Jesus Christ. So you know because you know because you know because you know. And every lovely flower, let's say, of the garden of your soul feels that warm south Holy Spirit wind when it blows and sheds those seeds abroad, just like when seeds are planted. Let that royal tenant, you listening on the radio, move into your heart. And then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you say, but I want God to manifest to me that I am forgiven. He isn't going to do that all at once. You are not going to know that you are entirely, totally forgiven all at once. How many know that's the truth? You get saved and you're happy. You just have 2 weeks or 2 hours or 2 minutes, some people. I'm saved and they know it. And they're enlightened. Ooh. And then they sort of lose it. They don't lose their salvation. They lose their peace. I bawled in the bathtub. That was where I met God. I always thought, well, seems like I have a lot of peace sitting in this hot water. So I'd get in there and I'd bawl about my life and what I'd done to my parents and people and so on like that. And oh, man, I was a mess. No, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ first, and then he will make manifest to you the pardon of your sin. Doesn't happen all at once. And along the line, some legalist will come along and help you to doubt. It's by faith we are saved, not by enjoyment. Do you always enjoy your Christian walk? No. That's where we get off, don't we? You're looking for enjoyment all the time. Oh, I remember I just got saved. I was so full and so free, and I went to this church, and I got in there, and the guy says, "Boy, we're going to camp. We'll be glad to get out of here, right? Away from all this worldliness and trials." And then he invited me over to his house, and I thought, and I was always pretty neat with my yard and with things I had. And I got over there, and there was weeds about this high all over. And I thought automatically, I thought, you know why this guy's so unhappy? He's got all these weeds growing. But he says, won't it be great when we can get to that camp and we can all rejoice? I thought, why can't you rejoice right here? Why do you have to go someplace way up north where there isn't even running water and no toilets? Man, I would lose it up there. And mosquitoes. No, it's by faith we are saved, I said, and not by enjoyment. It's when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and take Him at His word, even when my feelings seem to contradict that. See, being saved is not a feeling. It'll catch up with you, though. That's like taking medicine. You read the back of the bottle, it says, take 2 teaspoons of this every 4 hours. You know, try it. Screw the cap. Get the spoon out. Pour the medicine in there. Get it just right. Lift one. Yuck. People think when it tastes horrible, must be doing some good. There's a lot of truth in that. So they do another one, they take it. How do they know it's going to do any good? When they start to feel better. Hey, it worked! It's the same way with the medicine of the Word of God. When you take it, it takes a little time for it to get into the system. For it to start working in your system. But the results are always healing. If you believe it. Well, why wait until a circumstance changes? Well, I can't, because that daughter of mine, or that maid of mine, or that, I just lost my peace. I don't know where I'll ever find it. Right? Yeah, I know. But see, here's the thing about it. You can have it right now. I'm not saying claim it. I'm saying take the medicine. This piece I give unto you. Will you take it? Here's a spoonful. Will you take it? Yeah, but you don't know what happened in my life. Man, I mean, it hasn't got nothing to do with taking the medicine. Does it? A thing. Even if you have to get mad, give me that bottle. I'll take it. I'll show you. All right. Hasn't got nothing to do with it. You're still taking it. I have people that get mad. Okay, pray for me then. Go ahead. You won't do any good. You and your prayers. Well, okay then. I'm going to pray with you. And they're just as stiff as a board. But the prayer's still good. They're being stiff as a board, meaner than hell itself. Ain't got nothing to do with my prayers. I'm going to pray over you anyway. What a great reward when you see them change. Right? Have you ever felt that way? Go ahead and pray then. Ain't going to work. People say that all the time. It won't work. Go ahead. That does not disturb me. I say, well, they give me the okay to pray for them. Mean as they are. God will get more glory out of this one. I know that. Sister, you're getting your peace back. No, I know you're getting it back because you're getting joy. And you know what? It boils down to the very simple word of God. One word. Peace. Don't try to define it or you'll lose it. Well, I'll have peace after I move to my next place. That landlord. Who? Right? Can't stand the guy. Never fixes anything. We'll have peace when we get on there, but right now. And they'll come and they'll want counsel and say, well, we're really in a fix. We're living at this house, see? And this, I mean, the thing is a total wreck. What'll we ever do? I said, what's that got to do with you losing your peace? Why don't you just peacefully pack up your bags and go? Why don't you move on when somebody is after me? If somebody's punching you in the face, you just stand there? But anyway, the believer also enjoys in favored seasons, listen carefully, such an intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ that he can't help but be at peace. And so Jesus gives us those love visits, those physician's checkups, those house calls. But you must know this for yourself, each one of you. You must hear that small, still voice within yourself to feel the joy of that clear conscience. When you are exonerated from some crime someone said you did and they found out that you're innocent, oh, that you're not guilty, doesn't that bring you peace? Doesn't it? You ever been blamed for something you didn't do? I mean, you really didn't do it? Or you blamed it on somebody else? You made me do it. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. Do you remember that song? You still lose your peace. You still did it. But have you ever been accused of something you didn't do? Why do you lose your peace then? Because of people's opinions. Don't lose your peace. And the more that you move in God, the more you will be accused of things that you didn't even do. Finally, you're going to know that I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. And that then becomes an all-absorbing feeling of the Spirit. No, what a wonder it is that the believer has peace. Oh, peace. Peace when Jesus Christ dwells richly, the Bible says, in his heart and reigns there without rival. So that you know no man after the flesh. You know no man save Jesus only. Be strange then if you didn't have peace, wouldn't it? Sometimes God takes all of your friends away so all you can see is Jesus. Have you ever lost a bunch of friends one time in one big whack, one mass exodus? I mean, a whole group of them? Anybody in here lost a dozen at a time on something happened? Or three or four at a time? Anybody in here? Isn't that a feeling? Yeah. Well, look. I gotta go now. Click. Brrr. Who are you gonna turn to? Jesus. You preachers listening on the radio, maybe God's getting you ready for some kind of work, and you're so consumed with the thought of what people are thinking about you and your congregation. Maybe God will take them all away. Well, I have peace on and off, someone told me. I said, check out your river. It may be log jammed. Not applying the truth of God, that remedy, that sin, maybe that's that sin of unbelief, maybe that's plugging it up. I know that heaven is a prepared place, I said, my good man. Thanks be to the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, the Bible says, in the light. And that gives me peace. And so we can claim our inheritance. Death will bring it to pass. You have to finally die to get the whole thing. Another thing I have to caution people, your sins can't destroy your inheritance. Heaven will always be yours. Satan cannot shut you out. I shall be where Jesus is. For after him, the Bible says, my spirit longs. And so you're a justified man, a peace with God that passes, the Bible says, all understanding. Well, you say, I'm a Christian, but I have problems. How many of you know that being a Christian doesn't eliminate you from problems? Oh, God. So let me close this up. Our peace then is of a divine origin and is also divine in its nourishment. What God gives you, He'll also be the one that nourishes that. Can't be bought. Enemies can't take it away. Poverty can't destroy it. A Christian in rags can have peace. Sickness can't mar it. Well, the song says the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. Oh, if we could just grab this message today. Well, what are the effects then of divine peace? Well, first of all, they're joy. Just like you, sister. Something happened and quickened you in your spirit and all of a sudden you had joy. Okay? And you came in, if you don't mind me using you. You came in and, you know, you're uptight. Somewhere the Holy Spirit opened it up for you. He said, oh, now I understand. This is where I went wrong. Another effect of peace is love. See, if you're not loving, you ain't going to have any peace. Huh? Did you ever do unlovely things? Do you have peace after you do unlovely things? He that is with peace with God through the blood of Jesus Christ is constrained to love him that died for him. And so guard your peace. Have peace like David when he met the giant. Have peace like Elijah on Mount Carmel. Have peace like Paul and Silas at the midnight hour when they sang praises unto the Lord, and the Lord's joy opened up the prison's doors. Have peace like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were in this fiery furnace, fired up 7 times hotter than any furnace. Where one, the peace of all, came to be with them. Seems to be like the Son of God. And so all Christians have a right to peace. You all sitting here, you all listening on the radio have a right to peace. The world says, I have a right to sing the blues. Well, you have a right to have your peace. Some don't have it because they're ignorant. The legalist never has it because they only share their own experience, their unpeace. Let me close it with this. Psalm 29 and 11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. He will bless his people with peace. God is never going to let you down. Some are going to be slower in receiving peace, but the blood of Jesus Christ bought it for you all. You're just going to be slower in getting it, that's all. What have we said here today? We have like a threefold peace. The external, the internal, the eternal, meaning the temporal and the spiritual and the celestial peace. The outward peace, the blessing, the inward peace, the grace, and the everlasting peace of glory, all bought and backed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You just go ahead and live your life. Live it, live it, live it, live it. I mean, you're going to make your mistakes, my God. But have peace. Not a peace that the world gives, but a peace that Jesus gives you. Did you mess up last week somehow? I mean, did you get mad? Did you get angry? Did you get upset? Did you lose your peace? How many know how they get it back again? You know how to get it back again, don't you? That's why we have communion. As often as you had this, do it in remembrance of me. Well, do you remember what he gave you? Peace. Preachers, you listening now at the end of this message, you want to retain your peace? Obey the Lord. I could have lost mine. I could have moved out to California. I wouldn't have had no peace. You know, when you take your miserable self someplace and then you go someplace and think, well, I'll go there, and the geographic setting will change it. They won't do it. You'll be sitting under some tree and a coconut will fall on your head. You'll lose your peace there too. See, it sort of follows you around, see. No, you got to have your peace right here or you won't have it at all, see. Isn't that great? Right now, we have peace. This ministry is $35,000 in the hole, and we have peace! No, we have peace. I have peace because it's always been $35,000 in the hole. I have peace because when I was in business, I was $135,000 in the hole. But I just have peace. Why not deny what you already have? Pastor, you have brown eyes. No, I don't. They're blue. I can't deny it. You can't deny yourself and all of your faults and all of our faults. Jesus takes you just the way you are. Doesn't that give you peace? Jesus made you. He knew you before the foundation of the world was even founded. He knew what he was getting into. Doesn't that give you peace? He took you on. Nasty as we are, he took us on. You put on Christ. The Bible says put on Christ. But actually, he put on you. Put on all your sin, and then we nailed him to the cross. You can have your peace today. Oh, and look for great things to happen in the Christian community. I really feel that there's going to come a great coming together. And out of the millions of Christians all over the world, you're going to see maybe 4,000 or 5,000 come together in a great way. No. You're going to see a lot of Christians of a like mind coming together. I really believe that. You're going to have the camp over here where everything is for the enjoyment. And you're going to have the camp over here that are going to say, Lord, put me to work. What do you want me to do? What kind of suffering can I get into for the joy that is before me? Jesus Christ. Jesus suffered for the joy that was before him, you, and you suffer for the joy that's before you, him. It's coming up. What are you going to say, preacher, at that final hour? What will be our excuses? Not for your salvation, because you'll go to heaven. I mean, you know, maybe you'll make it there with diapers on and smoking tennis shoes and one burning hair on your head, but Jesus will help you make it through. What are you going to say? And what's he going to say? He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Just ask God what he wants you to do, and he'll put you busy doing something. See? I cannot for the life of me believe that people say, well, I am praying. I am a prayer warrior. If you're a prayer warrior and God is talking to you, he's going to give you something to do. Can you imagine going before your boss? Huh? And then he would just, and you're praying, show me what to do, show me what to do. He'd soon tell you what to do, wouldn't he? Huh? You know what he'd tell you? He'd say, do you know where the mop bucket is? And the mop? Yeah. And do you know where the cleaning supplies are and everything? Now, I don't believe that. I don't believe people can be in continual prayer all the time and not be busy doing the Lord's work. I don't believe that. I don't know who they're talking to, but they're not talking to God. I don't know who we're talking to. We're not talking to God when we see suffering all over the world and we don't meet that challenge and that need. I don't believe we're praying. I don't believe. That's like, here's someone dying in the streets. And you say, let's help him. Oh, no, I never do anything until I pray about it. Lord, people do that. I always pray first. Maybe God doesn't want me to help that man. Lord, do you want me to help this person? Well, I don't get a witness on it and walk around them. That's what happened to people. That's what they do. They got to be doing that. They're walking around all this suffering. We're walking around Ethiopia. We're walking around things that are happening in our own country. We're walking around these issues. No, I don't know what happens, but I know when I pray, I always get something to do. It says that the fields are ripe for the harvest, white for the harvest. But the laborers are few. Why? Guy asked me the other day on WCCO, we did that live show, and he said, you know, like, what's your doctrine? Well, I says, the doctrine of do. Oh, we're off to do the doctrine, the wonderful doctrine of do. Of do, of do, of do, of do, of do. And as you go along, start doing things. God, I want to thank you for these people that you brought here today. Thank you for this ministry on the north side. And thank you, Lord, that we have a peace that passes all understanding. Thank you, Lord, we know that you're going to meet all of those needs according to your riches. In Christ Jesus, amen. Now, is there anyone in here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior?